This is lesson HBS 158, and the title of this lesson is The Lay Ministries, Part 1, An Introduction. Let me say a little bit about what lay ministries, as the way I'm discussing it here, mean. Up to now, we've been discussing ministries that have been either full-time ministry gifts, where the people are like an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, a full-time minister, or we've talked about like the nine gifts of the Spirit, which some members of the body of Christ may, as the Spirit wills, be given certain gifts like the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and gift of prophecy, and the ones that we've discussed earlier. But now what I'd like to do, and we're going to spend our next few lessons on, are the ministries given to the lay person. That is, the person that's not a full-time minister. Person like you and I. Person, the normal person on the street that's got a job, that goes to church on Sunday, that listens to the sermon, then goes home and raises their family. And these are the lay people. They're not in full-time ministry, but yet they are called to a ministry. And they have a very definite ministry in the body of Christ. And so this constitutes really probably 95% of the body of Christ, these people that we call lay people, like you and I, the laity. And so I think it's very important to cover the ministries of these lay people and the things that God calls them to do, because probably more is done in the body of Christ to help the world and the body of Christ itself in the lay ministry than all the other full-time ministry gifts put together. And I say that not to denigrate the full-time ministry gifts at all, but let's face it, there's a lot more lay people out there than there are full-time ministers. And since we're all called to a ministry, the lay minister, you and I, can have a great impact on the world and to our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And we're going to be discussing what some of these lay ministries are. But before we get to that, I've called this lesson an introduction. We're going to have to discuss some more things about the ministries we've already discussed to lay the foundation for talking about these lay ministries. So I want to ask you in this lesson to please listen very carefully, as I'm going to be covering a lot of new ground here, some things you may have not have heard before, some things I didn't even know about before I started studying and spending a lot of time studying these passages I'm going to bring out here. And so you may even want to listen to this lesson more than once, because, as I say, I think it's going to be, some of it's going to be new, and there's some distinctions here that are kind of fine. If you'll listen closely, I believe that you'll be able to see these distinctions and learn from these distinctions, just as I have. And so just asking you, please, to listen carefully to this and to even listen to it again, because there's some new things here. Okay. Now, one more time, let's go back and read what these ministries are to the full body of Christ, not just only the lay ministries, but we're going to go one more time, go over, not going to discuss in detail, don't worry about that. We've covered the full-time ministry gifts and the gifts of the Spirit in detail in earlier lessons. But I want to just go start to lay a foundation for these lay ministries. So let's go back one more time to Ephesians 4:11 and read that verse. And it's talking about Jesus in this verse, that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And so here we have, of course, the five full-time ministry gifts listed. Now notice, and I haven't mentioned this before, all these gifts are nouns. Now, if you're not familiar with what a noun is, if your English is not your first language, you may not know what a noun is. A noun is a word that describes a person, place, or thing. That's what I was told way back in elementary school. A noun describes persons, places, or things. And so these five full-time ministry gifts, Jesus gave some men and women in the body of Christ to be our nouns. They are the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. These are things they are. Okay, and we've studied these in detail. I'm not going to go over these any more. Okay, now, let's turn from this now and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and discuss again some of those ministries. Now, I'm going to now start pointing out some of these lay ministries, so listen up, as they used to say in the Marines when I was in the Marines, listen up. Okay, so let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, then 4 through 11. Okay, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now we've talked about these nine gifts of the Spirit, haven't we? And we'll see them here in a minute. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. The Lord being Jesus. We just saw those five administrations, those full-time ministries, didn't we, in Ephesians 4:11. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, verse 7. But the manifestations of the Spirit, we're getting ready to talk about the gifts of the Spirit here, is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That's the first gift of the Spirit. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So here we've seen now the nine gifts of the Spirit listed. So in Ephesians 4:11, we saw the five full-time ministry gifts. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and the teacher. And now here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in the first 11 verses, we see the nine gifts of the Spirit listed. Now let's go on to verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. That simply means you are the body of Christ and members individually in the body of Christ. In other words, we each have a different part to play. Now, we'll find out what these parts are in verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles. Well, we read about those in Ephesians 4:11, didn't we? Secondarily, prophets. We read about those in Ephesians 4:11 as well. Thirdly, teachers. We read about teachers in Ephesians 4:11 as well. Now we get into something that sounds a little different. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And then he goes on to say, Paul does, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? And of course they're not. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Not in public ministry, no. Do all interpret? No. And then verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then he goes into 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and talks about if we don't use these gifts in love, they're not going to mean very much to the people we minister to. But that's for another day. Now, let's go back here and look at what we've discovered. It is my contention, folks, that every gift given to the body of Christ is listed or inferred in this particular chapter. As I say, we have the nine gifts of the Spirit all listed here. We have some of the full-time ministry gifts listed, obviously, which are the apostle, the prophet, and the teacher. But if you're listening closely, what seems to be missing in verse 28? Well, all the nine gifts of the Spirit were listed, that's for sure. We just read those. They're all there. And we just read in verse 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. What seems to be missing in verse 28? Can you guess? I'll give you a hint. What are the fivefold ministry gifts from Ephesians 4:11? All of you should know that by now. Well, they're the apostle, the prophet, the teacher. What else? The evangelist and the pastor. You might say, well, Mike, you said all the gifts are listed here in this chapter, but I don't see the evangelist and I don't see the pastor. How can they all be listed? Well, let's go back and read verse 28 a little more carefully. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, all apostles are certainly mentioned, secondarily prophets, well, prophets are certainly mentioned, thirdly teachers, well, teachers are certainly mentioned. Now listen, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. What is missing from this list, it seems like, on first glance? If you said the evangelist and the pastor, you'd be right. It doesn't seem that that's included. But wait a second. Let's look again. It said he set some in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, what comes next? Miracles, then gifts of healings. Who was the one example we have of an evangelist in the Bible? That's right. It's Philip. We studied that, didn't we, when we talked about the evangelist. And what did Philip do? The only time that we see Philip ministering, two times actually, once to the Samaritans and once right after that to the Ethiopian eunuch, what did he do when he ministered to the Samaritans? Well, he preached the gospel. He certainly did that if he's an evangelist. What else did he do? He worked miracles and he healed the people. Go back in Acts chapter 8 and you see that Philip, who's listed as an evangelist in Acts chapter 21, calls him an evangelist. And what did he do? The only indications that we have of Philip doing anything besides waiting on tables in Acts chapter 6, I think it was, is to minister to the Samaritans and minister to the Ethiopian eunuch. And what did he do in the Samaritans? He preached the gospel, he worked miracles, and he healed the people. Of course, he didn't heal them. The Holy Spirit, through him, healed the people. And so I maintain that the evangelist is contained in this chapter and in this verse 28 in the miracles and gifts of healing listed here. And the reason I don't believe evangelist is listed here is because I don't think that term had come into usage yet. 1 Corinthians was written before Ephesians, where the evangelist was first mentioned as a ministry gift. And so later, I believe that term came into more prominent usage. But right here, I believe what they've done is the Holy Spirit has listed miracles, then gifts of healing for the evangelist, the two main gifts that he ministers with when he ministers as an evangelist. Okay, you might say, that's fine, that takes care of the evangelist. What about the pastor? Well, let's skip down a little bit to this mysterious gift called governments. We find out in the Bible that the word governments comes from the Greek word kubernesis, spelled K-U-B-E-R-N-E-S-I-S, which Vine's dictionary says means to guide, to govern, to steer, or to pilot. It is said of those who act as guides in the local church. And then finally, Strong says something similar. He says, kubernesis means directorship in the church. So this word governments here means, according to the Greek, kubernesis, governments, means to guide, to govern, to steer, to pilot. It is said of those who act as guides in the local church. It means directorship in the church. And so, folks, I maintain that the pastor is contained here in the word governments. Again, I don't believe the word pastor came to prominent usage yet, as it's listed in Ephesians 4, where it is called a pastor. And so at this time, I believe it's listed by what the gift is that the pastor has, and that is to lead, to guide, to govern, to steer, and direct the church. That, I believe, describes the pastor. So if you agree with this, then all the ministry gifts given to the body of Christ are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All the nine gifts of the Spirit, all the full-time ministry gifts, and the last two, as I just explained, not listed by the name evangelist or pastor, but by what they do. And so I believe that every gift that God has for the body of Christ is listed in chapter 12. But I want you to notice here that we have a new gift that we've never seen before, and it's something called the ministry of helps. Now, we're going to be discussing this a lot in the next couple of lessons, because it's my contention and my belief from studying this that the ministry of helps describes the lay ministries in great detail. As a matter of fact, it's my belief that the ministry of helps is a general heading for sub-ministries that we'll be discussing later and that are listed in Romans chapter 12. And so this ministry of helps is something that we're going to be discussing in great detail, as I say, in the upcoming lessons. I just want to call your attention to it now. This little word just plunked down in here in the middle of all these other ministries is going to become greatly important to us in the coming lessons. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 12, and that's our last passage that describes gifts and ministries given to the body of Christ. And start in with verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 8. Now, just hang with me here. If you've got some questions in your mind, just hold on to them for a while, because I believe that it'll be made clear as we go through this in some detail later in the lesson. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now that word prove there really means rightly discern. So we might read it this way. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might rightly discern what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It means for your life. Now let's go on. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man, there's that every man, he's talking to all of us, all the members of the body of Christ here, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, we're not to be lifted up by thinking that we have something special, because he's going to be talking about these gifts and ministries given mainly to the laypersons in the coming verses. And so he wants us to realize soberly that God has given to every one of us the measure of faith to operate in some gift or ministry. In other words, it's not just yourself. When you discover you have a gift or ministry that has it, everyone has it. Every member of the body of Christ has some gift or ministry that just won't be the same one. And we'll see more of this in the verses to follow. But right now, I just want you to think about the fact that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith to operate in some gift or ministry. Now let's read on in verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one of us members one of another. Having then gifts differing. In other words, we all have different gifts. That's why we shouldn't get lifted up, as he says in verse 3, but to think soberly according as God has given to every man the measure of faith to operate in some gift. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, there's a gift of the Spirit, isn't it? Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, we'll talk about that later. Let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Or he that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Okay, so here we have listed some more gifts, and we're going to find out that these gifts, most of them that are listed here, are sub-ministries to the ministry of helps, mentioned in the previous passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the ministry of helps. We're going to find out that these ministries here, listed in verses 7 and 8, I contend from studying this, are sub-ministries of the ministry of helps, given in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Now, we'll be building on this in the coming weeks, but I just want to introduce it now. This ministry, this teaches, exhorting, giving, ruling, showing mercy, all of these things are sub-ministries of this broad ministry of helps described in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I want to again point out here that he's talking here. The reason I say it's clear these verses refer primarily to the laity is because we have terms in this chapter like, I beseech you, brethren, for I say to every man which is among you. And then it says, God hath given to every man. And then he goes on and says, we, being many, are one body, and every one members, having gifts differing according to the grace given to us. Folks, he's talking here to the entire body of Christ. And so it's my contention that he's talking here to not only people who have full-time ministry gifts, but especially to the laity, because we're the majority of the people in the body of Christ, the laity, the ones that don't have a full-time ministry. So that the ministries you read about here, most of them are lay ministries. And additionally, I'd like to point out here in Romans 12, 6 through 8, we seem for the first time to have a list of things the laity will be doing. Notice before we talked about what these ministers are. They were nouns, remember? Nouns being persons, places, or things. Now we have a list of things the laity will be doing with the gifts they've been given. Now notice that these gifts, unlike the previous gifts and ministries, are all described by verbs, not nouns. Words describing some type of action. That's what a verb is, a word that describes some type of action. So here for the first time, we see ministries listed as something people do rather than something people are. Notice also that this list contains some new ministries that every man among us will have a part to play in, even though we will have these gifts differing. In other words, we will not all have the same gift. So these verses seem to be written with special attention given to the laity. Well, I've said all that to say this. We've got a brand new ministry here. We've never seen it before, and it's listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and it is the ministry of helps. This is a brand new ministry. We've never run into this one before. We've talked about the full-time ministry gifts, and you know about those. We're not going to go into those anymore. We've talked about the nine gifts of the Spirit. We've discussed those. We're not going to go into those anymore. And so we're going to get in now to the lay ministries. And I maintain that the lay ministries are all contained in this new ministry we see for the first time in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, called the Ministry of Helps. So let's leave the full-time ministry gifts, and let's leave off talking about the gifts of the Spirit and concentrate on the lay ministries now, which, as I say, I contend are contained under this new ministry called the Ministry of Helps. As it turns out, folks, this is going to be a vital and encompassing ministry to the body of Christ, and also give help to not only the body of Christ, but to the world at large. As I also said before, this new ministry called the Ministry of Helps is further subdivided and expanded in Romans chapter 12 into six more sub-gifts, which I said before when I read Romans chapter 12, is ministry, he that teaches on teaching, that's two, he that exhorteth on exhortation is three, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, that's four, he that ruleth with diligence, that's five, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, that would be six new sub-ministries in this overall new ministry called the Ministry of Helps. The word helps in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, seems rather mysterious to me, the way it's just plunked down right in the middle of all these other gifts and ministries that we've been studying, the gifts of the Spirit and the five full-time ministry gifts, with no prior or later mention anywhere in the New Testament. This is the only place the Ministry of Helps is mentioned anywhere in the New Testament. So let's talk about this word helps for a little bit. This word helps is in the Greek and the word antilipsis, A-N-T-I-L-E-P-S-I-S. That's the Greek word for this new word, helps. Strong says this word means relief. Thayer goes a little bit further, and he says this word means a laying hold of, to assist, to aid, or to help. And Vine says antilipsis properly signifies a laying hold of, an exchange, so as to support or a help. He says it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, as one of the ministrations in the local church by way of rendering assistance, perhaps especially of help ministered to the weak and needy. Vine also says this ministry is not, now listen to this, not official functionaries, as are in view in the term helps, but rather the functioning of those who, like the household of Stephanas, devote themselves to ministering to the saints. Now, that's a lot to swallow in one new thing I've put out here. Let me talk about this just a little bit more detail. Thing I'd like to bring out here is that Vine says this ministry of helps, is not described by official functionaries. That would be people that we recognize as being in either the full-time ministry or some ministry that we've heard of before. They're not official functionaries in the body of Christ. That's not what's contained in this word helps, he says. But rather, now listen to this, the functioning of those who, like the household of Stephanas, devote themselves to ministering to the saints. Who are the saints? They are the believers. Okay, and this is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 and 17, where it talks about the household of Stephanas. Okay, so Vine says this ministry is not official functionaries like we normally constitute ministries, such as the full-time ministries and those who minister regularly in the gifts of the Spirit, but rather the functioning of those who, like the household of Stephanas, devote themselves to ministering to the saints. Now let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where it talks about this household of Stephanas. Verse 15 in 1 Corinthians 16 says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they, now listen, have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. This family, this house of Stephanas, which is one of the first groups of people saved in Achaia, the first fruits of Achaia, is a group or a family that have addicted themselves to the ministry to the saints. And he's saying, I wish, in verse 16 he says, I wish that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. I realize there's a lot in this verse, and I only mention it because Vine wrote in his expository dictionary of New Testament words that this household of Stephanas describes what this ministry of helps is. And he says they're not official functionaries, that is, not full-time ministries or anything like that, but rather lay ministries that are like this household or family of Stephanas who devote themselves to ministering to the saints. And then the Holy Spirit says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 17, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, one of the first groups saved in Achaia, and born again and become saints, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. This is just a family that have decided that they have a call on their life, not full-time, but on their life, to not only go about doing their normal jobs as they do as members of the body of Christ, but they've also felt the moving of the Holy Spirit in their spirits to minister to the saints. And it says what they did in this ministry to the saints, that they helped with us and labored. And he says, I'm glad they've done this, Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. So here's a group of people, a family really, that have on their own, under the internal moving of the Holy Spirit in their lives, decided to take on a ministry to the saints. Folks, that describes this ministry of helps in a very new way. These are just ordinary people like you and I. They are people who have jobs, people that go about doing those jobs and raising their families, but also have felt a pull in their spirits to do more than this, but to minister as an adjunct to their normal lives, this ministry of helps, where God calls upon them to help the saints, to minister to the saints. Now we're going to find out it's not only ministering to the saints that this new ministry of helps is called to do, but in this particular case, in the case of the household of Stephanas, they were called in their spirits to minister to the saints, to help the saints, to find ways where they could help the body of Christ. And it says here that they not only helped the body of Christ in general, but they certainly helped Paul by providing that which was lacking on your part. In other words, some things Paul needed that the rest of the body of Christ didn't supply. This family, this group of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus moved in and assisted Paul in his ministry. And folks, I think this describes in a good way what the ministry of helps is. It's a new ministry for the lay person that helps the body of Christ or helps the world at large. That they don't do this full time, but they sense the moving of God in their spirits, and due to this moving of God in their spirits, they find niche things that they feel led to do in their spirits that helps either the body of Christ or the world at large. Folks, that's what this ministry is. It's a lay ministry composed of lay people that, I said before, are just you and I, people not called to the full-time ministry, but people who feel in their hearts that they have something God wants them to do. Now, folks, this would be every one of us, really, because we're all called to this ministry if we're not in the full-time ministry. We all have some ministry in the ministry of helps that God is calling us to do. Now, we have these gifts differing, as it says in Romans chapter 12, but we all have some gift. And as I said before, this ministry of helps is further subdivided in Romans chapter 12 into six other sub-ministries. And as we go ahead in the weeks to come, we'll be looking at these sub-ministries in some detail. But all I want to say now, what this word helps here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 28 really means. And I will sum up again. It's a Greek word called antilipsis, A-N-T-I-L-A-P-E-S-I-S, which Strong says means relief. Thayer goes a little further. He says the word means a laying hold of, to assist. And he also says it means to aid or to help. And Vine says it's a laying hold of, an exchange, so as to support or help some person or group. And he also says it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:28 as one of the ministrations in the local church by way of rendering assistance, perhaps especially of help ministered to the weak and needy. And then we've also gone into detail about the household of Stephanas, where they have addicted themselves, it says, to the ministry of the saints. This is just something this family did, something that they felt it called in their spirit to do. And what I want to emphasize here, folks, that every single one of us in the body of Christ, if we're not called to the full-time ministry, we have a call to minister in this ministry of helps, some way to either help the body of Christ, the world, or both. And we're going to be discussing these gifts that are lay gifts, given to the laity, given to people like you and I. And the reason I'm so, I guess, excited about this gift is because we can have such an impact in the world, folks. That's number one. Because 99% of us in the body of Christ aren't called to the full-time ministry. And so there's a lot of us out there that are called by God to minister in this ministry of helps. Now, unfortunately, a lot of us don't know we're called. Some of us sense once in a while that we're called to do something, and we step out kind of maybe a little bit lacking in confidence. We feel like God has called us to do something. We're not quite sure what it is, and we're kind of afraid to start. But folks, realize this is God working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, as it says in Philippians chapter 2. For it is God that works within each one of us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And folks, that working within us, the lay people, the normal people that don't have full-time ministries, is God trying to tell us that we have a special gift and a special calling unique to each one of us that God wants us to do in ministering either, as I say, to the world, to the body of Christ, or sometimes both. And so the purpose of these lessons coming up is to present what some of these ministries are and to hope that during this period of explanation and discussing these ministries, that each one of you that are hearing these lessons that are lay people will feel moved and encouraged to step out in one of these areas that God has called you to. I firmly believe, folks, as we discuss these gifts in some detail, that the Holy Spirit will quicken to each one of you that are not full-time ministers some way that you're called to minister, like I say, either to the body of Christ or to the world or possibly both. There's a lot of variations in this gift, folks, called the Ministry of Helps. And there's even subgroups in the subgroups I'm going to talk about. But through talking about these things, I think that the Holy Spirit is going to quicken your spirit and show each one of you, if you don't already know, what your gift and calling to the body of Christ or to the world is. Now, if you go back and look one more time at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, which we've done a lot of, I realize, I want to talk about one more little thing we haven't talked about. And that is here in verse 28. Let me read it again. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings. We've talked about that in some detail. Now here's that ministry helps. Helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now there's that helps. Now he goes on to say in verse 29, are all apostles? No, they're not. Are all prophets? Of course not. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Talking about this public tongues, diversities of tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Now, the reason I've read this all again, and you've heard it many, many times, I realize, is notice what's not contained in verse 29. What's not contained in there? The ministry of helps. And why is not that ministry contained in there? Why couldn't he say, like he did with the apostles, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Do all have the ministry of helps? Well, maybe they do. Maybe that's why it's not listed there. Folks, this ministry of helps is so pervasive and so inclusive and so broad that I believe the Holy Spirit purposely did not include it in here, do all have this thing, because I think to some degree every member of the body of Christ has the ministry of helps. And I think that's interesting that the Holy Spirit didn't include it here in verse 29. Because all do, to some degree, have the ministry of helps. So he couldn't say, do all have the ministry of helps? No. He didn't say that, did he? Because all of us do, folks, to some degree, have this ministry of helps. And that's why I believe it wasn't included here in verse 29. Because we really do. We really do all have this ministry of helps in some degree. And folks, I believe this last ministry, which is called in the Word of God, the ministry of helps, which is dropped right here in the middle of these other gifts and ministries, and only here, this one place, this ministry of helps is mentioned in the entire New Testament. I believe this ministry has a special significance, as I say, for the layperson, as we will see later in the next lesson. Also, even though helps is only mentioned here once as a ministry, I believe, as I said before, it's broken down into these sub-ministries, which I call lay ministries, in Romans chapter 12, where we're going to be spending a lot of time in the coming lessons. And as we will see in the next lesson, I believe we'll come to see that this is one of the most, if not the most, pervasive, essential, and useful ministry in the body of Christ. And God has saved this special ministry called the Ministry of Helps and its sub-ministries for the layperson, not the full-time minister. And we'll be discussing this in more detail in our next lesson. This is homework, HBS 158. First question, fill in the blanks. Name the three Bible passages that introduce the various gifts and ministries that have been given to the church. Well, we've been studying this for quite a while, so I think you should get this right. Well, number one, it would be Ephesians 4:11. That would be the first one. Number two, pretty much all of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And number three, Romans chapter 12, verses primarily 7 and 8. Next question. The book, chapter, and verse where the five full-time ministries are listed is, and I want you to tell me which of these three places the full-time ministry gifts are listed. The answer to that question would be Ephesians 4:11. That's where it tells us that Jesus gave to the church the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. So the answer to this question is Ephesians 4:11. The book and chapter where all the gifts and ministries are listed by either name or inference is, and that would be 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And next question is, the book, chapter, and verse where the lay ministries are listed by name is. And then I want you to list that book, chapter, and verse. And we just studied that in this lesson. And that would be Romans chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. Next question. Which two full-time ministry gifts are not listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, but are inferred by the gifts that correspond to their ministries? We studied that in this lesson. What are those two full-time ministry gifts not directly listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, but they're inferred by the gifts that correspond to their ministry? They would be what? Number one, the evangelist. And number two, the pastor. They're not directly listed in that list, but they're described by the gifts that correspond to their ministry. So the answer to this question is the evangelist and the pastor. How many gifts of the Spirit are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Well, all the gifts of the Spirit are listed there, and there are nine of them. So the answer to this question is nine. Now, you could even put all the gifts are listed, and there are nine of them. Next question. The spiritual gifts that most correspond to the evangelist in 1 Corinthians 12:28 in the King James Version are the blank of blank and the blank of blank. Remember I said that the evangelist wasn't specifically mentioned in this verse, but the gifts that correspond with the ministry were listed. And so which ones correspond to the evangelist? The answer to this question would be the working of miracles and the gifts of healings. So that's what goes in these blank. Working of miracles and the gifts of healings. Those are the two spiritual gifts that most correspond to the evangelist. Next question. Who is our only example of an evangelist in the Bible? That should be pretty easy because there's only one listed, and that is Philip. Philip the evangelist. Remember, he started off serving tables, I think it's Acts chapter 6, and then he was promoted from there to an evangelist. It tells us what he did in Acts chapter 8 as an evangelist. And then in Acts chapter 21, it tells us he actually was an evangelist in the Bible. And the answer to this question, of course, is Philip. He's the only example of an evangelist in the entire Bible. When blank went to Samaria, he preached, worked blank, and blank the people. What goes in those blanks? When Philip went to Samaria, he preached, worked miracles, and healed the people. Of course, the Holy Spirit working through Philip really healed the people. Philip wasn't the source of their healing. He was just the agent or the channel for the healing to take place in the people. So in these blanks goes Philip, miracles, and healed. Next question. The gift name most associated with the pastor listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 in the King James Version is blank, which means to blank the local church. What gift name is most associated with the pastor in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28? Well, that word, of course, we studied it in the lesson, is governments, which means to direct or guide the local church. So in those blanks goes governments and direct or guide, or direct and guide the local church. So, again, the pastor wasn't listed directly by name in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 28, but his gift was, which is the gift of, the King James Version calls it, governments. And we talked about that quite a bit in the lesson. And one of the meanings is to guide or to lead the local church. Next question. A new ministry was introduced in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. It is called the ministry of blank. What is this new ministry, which we're going to be studying quite a bit about in the next few lessons? Well, the new ministry that was introduced in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 is called the ministry of helps. So helps goes in that blank. Next question, true or false? The word helps in the Greek, and the Greek word is antalepsis, means to give relief, to assist, or to aid. Is that true or false? Well, of course, that's an easy question. That is true. The word helps in the Greek is the Greek word antalepsis, which does mean to give relief, to assist, or to aid. This ministry of helps is further described by six new sub-ministries given in Romans chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. Is this true or false? Well, this is true. The ministry of helps is briefly mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And as we taught in the lesson, this ministry then is further described by six new sub-ministries that fall under this ministry of helps. And we're going to be studying what those ministries, sub-ministries are. So the answer to this question is true. Next question. These new sub-ministries are introduced in the King James Version in Romans 12, 6 through 8 as having then blank differing according to the blank that is given to blank, whether prophecy let us blank according to the proportion of faith. Now this is a long question, and so I'll just take it piece by piece. Let's take this first part. These new sub-ministries are introduced in the King James Version in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, as having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So the first part of this question, we have the words gifts, grace, us, and prophesy goes in those blanks. And then if you read it all together with these words, it would be these new sub-ministries are introduced in the King James Version in Romans 12, 6 through 8 as having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now let's go on to number one here. Or blank, let us wait on our blank. What is next in this? These verses 6 through 8. First one is, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Number two, or he that blank on blank. I'll fill in those blanks. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Number three, or he that blank on blank. Let me fill in the blanks for three. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Let's go down to number four now. He that blank, let him do it with blank. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Number five. He that blank, with blank. He that ruleth, with diligence. And number six. He that shows blank, with blank. Filling those blanks, it's he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. So in these blanks goes one, just in case you didn't get it, number one, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Number two, or he that teacheth on teaching. Number three, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Number four, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Number five, he that ruleth with diligence. And number six, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. All the sub-ministries of the ministry of helps are given in Romans 12, 6 through 8 in these six different things that I have listed here. Next question. By the chapter context, we see that these verses pertain to the members of the body of Christ called the blank. I want you to fill in that blank. By the chapter context, we see that these verses pertain to the members of the body of Christ called the laity. That is, those that aren't full-time ministries. That's like you and I, people that have a job, go to work every day, that raise families. Not that the full-time ministers don't raise families, but I mean, we have jobs. We're not in the ministry full-time. And so those people in the body of Christ are called the laity. And When I say by the chapter context, what I mean is that in the chapter, before these gifts and ministries are listed that I just read, it's clear these ministries refer to the laity, because we have terms preceding these gifts like, I beseech you, brethren, for I say to every man which is among you, God has given to every man, we being many are one body, and everyone members, having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us. In other words, the whole context in this chapter is the talking to the entire body of Christ here. And so, by this I maintain that these are the gifts that are given to the laity, that each one of us has some sort of gift. And if you prayerfully go through the lessons that are coming up in this lesson, I think by the time we get through with these lessons, you're going to have a really good idea what God has called you to do. You may already have it. You may already know that. A lot of people do. You're something you're really good at, something the Lord uses you in. But I think as we go through these things, there's not that many of them. They pretty much all fit within these six that we just listed here. I think it'll become apparent what God has called you to do if you're a member of the laity. Okay, so let's go on now to our final couple of questions here. Next question, true or false? This means that even though we may have gifts differing, we all have some gift that God has given us with which we are to minister. Is that true or false? Well, of course, that's one of those gimme questions. That is true. I just wanted to put it in there so you realize that even though we may have gifts differing, every one of us has some gift that God has given to us with which we are to minister. So that is true. Next question, true or false? God expects each one of us believers to use this gift or ministry he gave us to help others. Is that true or false? Well, that's another gimme question. I just want you to think about it. And the answer to this question, of course, is true. That God expects each one of us to use the gift or ministry he's given us to help others. In other words, our full-time job on the earth isn't just to raise our families and go to work every day and deal with the material things in life. That's part of it. But God expects us also to use these gifts he's given us on a daily basis as well, to help others, either in the body of Christ, the world, or both. Now, these are gifts that are given to us. This isn't something we have to kind of labor to do in the sense that we have no real ability to do it. We just do the best we can. No, this is a gift you've been given. You have a gift, a powerful gift that comes from God to minister to people in some area. I don't know what it is for you, but I do know there's the ones that we just listed here, six of those sub-ministries of the ministries of helps that we fall into, that each one of us has been given a gift somewhere in these sub-ministries to work with in the body of Christ or to the world. And so since it is a gift, it's got divine power associated with it. And so when we go forth and we step out in faith to exercise that gift, God will be right there. Now, if we kind of take a gift upon us that God didn't really give us because we like the sound of it or something, and we go out to try to minister in that gift, we're not going to have the power and the unction from God to operate in that gift. But if we'll find the one that we have and then step out in faith and use that gift, God will be right there, and he will go with us and work through us and manifest his power through us to exercise that gift he's given us to the body of Christ, to the world, or both. Now, the last question then in the homework is this. Of course, our job or family comes first, so God knows not all of us will be able to use the gift. In other words, the gift that he's given us. Is that true or false? Well, of course, that is false. God knows that we have a family. God knows that we have a job, but God does not know that we're not going to be able to use that gift. He wouldn't give us the gift if we weren't going to have an opportunity to use it. So we have to balance, folks, our lives, our families, our jobs, so that we have time and we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that we can manifest the gift that he's given us. And you know, it may happen in our job, it may happen in our family, it may happen somewhere else. But God will use these gifts, and you'll feel a little nudge in your spirit when it's time to do it, or a little nudge in your spirit to go talk to this person, or God will show you where to go. He will work within you, as we said in Philippians 2:13, he will work within you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So all we have to do is be sensitive to the Holy Ghost that lives in each one of us, as if we're a believer, to exercise that gift. And so, folks, yes, we have families. Yes, we have jobs. but we also have a job to do for God, not just our earthly job. And so we need to be sensitive so that when the Holy Spirit prompts us, we can manifest the gift that God's called us to manifest in this world. So that then completes the homework for this lesson.